You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. And those are some extremely important lines in the history of literature. The opening lines of the great A Tale of Two Cities. Now, why do I mention that? On this particular day, in 1859, was when it was first published in a literary periodical called All the Year Round. So that was the beginning of A Tale of Two Cities by the great Charles Dickens. When you listen to those words, they are just as applicable now. We have so much spring around us. Technology is booming. We have opportunities. And yet, situations we find ourselves in politically, environmentally, are just telling us that we should all be going direct to heaven, except we are all going directly the other way. On this very day, in 1897, J.J. Thomson, another Englishman, a physicist this time, announced the discovery of the electron in a lecture to the Royal Institution. Now, it's so hard to believe that it's barely 120, 130 years ago that one of the most important things that we've come to take for granted was first spoken about. The electron came to be, so to speak, in 1897 on this very day. And another thing that we have come to take for granted is freedom and liberty. While those are good things to believe in, it would also do us well to remember that Hitler was not so long ago. It's less than 100 years ago. And in 1945, on this very day, that tyrant who caused the death of over 6 million Jews and other marginalized communities in Europe killed himself along with his new wife, Eva Braun, in a bunker in Berlin. 1945, it was not that long ago. And on to more happy news, it was also on this very day, the 30th of April, 1989, that the World Wide Web, one of the greatest inventions of mankind as far as I'm concerned, was first launched in the public domain by another Englishman, Tim Berners-Lee. So a lot of important things happened on this particular day, the 30th of April. It is also the birth anniversary of Dada Saheb Phalke, without whom we would not have the Dabangs of the world. So you have him to thank. Speaking of Dada Saheb Phalke, you should also catch the great film Harishchandrachi Factory, which was about the struggles that Phalke had to endure to get the first full-length feature film of India, that is Raja Harishchandra, made. So all of these things happened on the 30th of April in the past. What happened today on the 30th of April 2019 is what we bring to you on this podcast, which is frankly the only podcast you have to listen to all day long. You get caught up with the world. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Stories of the Day right here on Money Control. First, let's start with headlines from the worlds of business and finance and all things related to money. It seems to be a season of mergers because a report has emerged that Punjab National Bank, Union Bank and Bank of India are in talks for a merger. The finance ministry may hold a round of discussion with some public sector banks regarding the second round of mergers in the banking space. The merger process, as we know, of Bank of Baroda, Vijaya Bank and Dena Bank had started in October last year. On the 1st of April, Vijaya Bank and Dena Bank were merged into BOB, Bank of Baroda, to form the third largest bank in the country. One senior executive obviously balked at the suggestion and told the Economic Times, which reported this story, that mergers are not the answer to every problem in the banking sector and that the government should open itself to alternatives other than creating too big to fail structures. And we know what happens when something is too big to fail. The 2008 financial crisis was an excellent example of that. Speaking of Punjab National Bank, according to the bank's data, it recovered 4,000 crore rupees from sale of stressed assets in January to March 2019. The bank also expects recovery of another 3,100 crore rupees through sale of non-core assets in the first quarter of this financial year. Gross recovery for the bank stood at 16,608 crore rupees during the first 9 months of the financial year 2018-2019. We spoke about this yesterday. Of course, we expected, at least according to analysts, that there would be a 10% plunge, but it turns out it was a 30% plunge for Yes Bank shares after quarter four shock. Shares of Yes Bank today slumped as much as 30%, opening at 213.50 rupees and dropping as much as 30.18% intraday to 165.6 rupees on the NSE before settling just a rupee above at 166.75 rupees. Kotak Institutional Equities has maintained a sell rating on Yes Bank and Australian brokerage Macquarie has downgraded the stock by a full two notches, and several other brokerage houses have followed suit. Yes Bank, as we know, on Friday reported a loss of 1,507 crore rupees for the March quarter against a profit of 1,180 crore rupees a year ago. Total provisions during the quarter increased more than ninefold to 3,661.7 crore rupees as against 399, almost a tenth, 0.64 crore rupees in the year ago quarter. Many analysts, of course, believe that the turnaround that Ravneet Gill, the new CEO, has planned will be a gradual one given the challenges across several metrics, including falling revenue yields, asset quality, among several others. India's eight core industries grew 4.7% in March 2019 as opposed to 2.2% growth recorded a month ago, according to data released by the Commerce Ministry today. The eight core sectors are coal, crude oil, natural gas, refinery products, fertilizers, steel, cement and electricity. Turning to some earnings results right now, Kotak Mahindra Bank quarter four net jumped 25% on strong loan growth. The shares of Kotak Mahindra Bank inched higher today, and the lender reported a loan growth of 21% year on year. We'll of course explore this story in a little more detail towards the end of the podcast. That is one of our big stories today. In more quarter four related news, Godrej Properties quarter four profit jumped fourfold and the company is about to raise up to 2,500 crore rupees. During the full 2018-2019, Godrej Properties reported nearly three times jump in its net profit to 253.15 crore rupees. The company's board has also approved raising of funds up to 2,500 crore rupees through issue of equity shares, preference shares, debentures and QIP. More quarter four results coming in. TVS Motor Company today reported a 19.2% decline in its standalone profit after tax, that is PAT, to 133.8 crore rupees for the fourth quarter. The company had posted a PAT of 165.6 crore rupees a year ago. Revenue from operations rose to 4,384.02 crore rupees in the fourth quarter against 4,007.24 crores a year ago. TVS Motor Company said so in a regulatory filing. The company's overall two-wheeler and three-wheeler sales, including exports, grew to 9.07 lakh units during the quarter from 8.89 lakh units in the same period last year. Reliance Capital, the Anil Ambani Group, has plans to sell up to a 51% stake each in its wholly owned non-banking financial companies. It has drawn up plans to raise up to 10,000 crore rupees through stake sales as the diversified financial services company seeks to cut its debt amid a string of rating downgrades. The wholly owned NBFCs of the Anil Ambani Group are, of course, Reliance Home Finance and Reliance Commercial Finance, as well as in two other media companies, Codemasters and Prime Focus, according to Amit Bapna, RCAP Group CFO. In addition to this, it also plans to divest as much as a 49% stake in two wholly owned insurance firms, that is Reliance Insurance and Reliance General Insurance. This is, of course, in the wake of several downgrades that we have seen. As recently on the 26th of April, CARE downgraded bank facilities issued by Reliance Commercial from BBB+ to D. It also downgraded debt of 5,000 crore rupees of Reliance Commercial Finance to C from BBB+. As many as 359 cases have been admitted for insolvency resolution in quarter four. This is the highest since the rollout of the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Code. In its report, the Insolvency and Bankruptcy Board of India said while only 14 got resolution plan approvals of the 349, 73 went into liquidation in the January to March quarter. The process has seen more liquidations than resolutions since inception. So far, 378 cases went into liquidation and only 94 got resolution plans in place out of the total 1,858 cases that have been admitted since December 2016. In some auto sector news, Maruti has cut discounts by 38% sequentially ahead of BS6 rollout. Maruti Suzuki said the average discount per vehicle offered to its dealers dipped to 15,125 rupees during quarter four from 24,300 rupees in quarter three. Two of its peers, among the top five manufacturers, are also expected to follow suit. Dealers and executives at three of the top five car makers told Money Control's Swaraj Bagonkar that average average discounts during March and April have fallen compared to December, January and February. Lowering of discounts coincides with, of course, the rise in retail car demand. As per data supplied by the Federation of Automobile Dealers Association, or FADA, retail volumes were up 5% in March compared to February. There are expectations of better retail demand post the completion of the general elections in May. Additionally, models that are getting upgraded to BS6, which is the next generation emission standard to be introduced from the 1st of April 2020, will see a substantial price hike, especially if they're powered by a diesel engine. According to a report on the Financial Times, Nes Vadia, son of industrialist Nusli Vadia and inheritor of one of India's wealthiest business families, has been sentenced for drug possession while on a skiing holiday to Japan. The Financial Times reported that Nes Vadia, co-owner of the Kings 11 Punjab cricket team, was arrested in early March at the New Chitose Airport in the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido. Customs officials were alerted by sniffer dogs, and a search revealed that Vadia had about 25 grams of what appeared to be cannabis resin in his trouser pocket. The Vadia Group spokesperson told ANI, and I quote, Nes Vadia is in India. The judgment is clear. It is a suspended sentence. Hence, it won't impact Nes Vadia in the discharge of any of his responsibilities. And what are his responsibilities? Well, the Vadia Empire has many units. Bombay Dyeing, Bombay Burman Trading, Britannia Industries, Go Air, and of course, Kings 11 Punjab, with a total market valuation of its listed entities standing at a whopping $13.1 billion. It did, of course, affect the shares of these companies. Bombay Dyeing was down 10.1% on the BSE, and Bombay Burma Trading down 3.6%, and Britannia Industries falling 2.6%. Turning our attention to some international business and finance-related news, Donald Trump, let's not forget he was a businessman, however unsuccessful, Trump has sued Deutsche Bank and Capital One to block compliance with subpoenas. President Trump, his three oldest children, that is Ivanka, Donald Jr. and Eric, and his private company, have filed a federal lawsuit yesterday against Deutsche Bank and Capital One. In the suit, filed in a federal court in Manhattan in New York, the president and his family members argue that the Democratic House committee leaders who issued the subpoenas engaged in a very broad overreach. The suit went on to say, and I quote, this case involves congressional subpoenas that have no legitimate or lawful purpose. The subpoenas were issued to harass President Donald Trump, to rummage through every aspect of his personal finances, his businesses, and the private information of him and his family, unquote. Among the entities that the Congress members have sought documents from is, very importantly, Mazars USA, which is the president's longtime accounting firm. All of these documents are obviously going to tell us A, his tax returns, B, whether or not his businesses have been successful, C, what kind of loans does he have, and D, whether or not he has repaid them. Starting in 2011, the Trump relationship was handled by the private banking division of Deutsche Bank, which caters to the super wealthy. That division gave away more than $300 million of loans to Trump and his companies, making Deutsche Bank his largest creditor. The bank was also an important lender to Donald Jr., that is the son, and to the family of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, whose own family is also facing a lot of debt situations. And according to the suit, officials from the president's company tried but failed to get information about the subpoenas from congressional officials. So these might just result in Trump coming out and saying just how much money he has. A lot of people have argued that he's not a billionaire, and now we might just know. But of course, Trump, in his characteristic style, has decided to sue them. One of our big international news stories today is Standard Chartered has flagged a turnaround progress with a $1 billion buyback plan. Standard Chartered unveiled plans for an up to $1 billion share buyback, its first such in at least 20 years, and posted a 10% rise in quarterly profit, signaling that the bank was seeing early success in its turnaround strategy. The buyback announcement sent the Hong Kong-listed shares of the bank up more than 7% as of afternoon trade today. And that is also one of our big stories, a $1 billion buyback plan of Standard Chartered. In news from the aviation sector, Airbus's profits have plunged and the company has chosen to blame the scrapping of its super jumbo A380. Profits were down 86% from the same period in 2018 to €40 million, or about $45 million. The company blamed adjustments, including €190 million for the prolonged suspension of defense export licenses to Saudi Arabia by the German government, and of course, the scrapping of the A380 as the reasons for the plunge in profits. from Airbus, let's descend down to Earth and back specifically to India and find out in a quick recap the volleys that have been exchanged in the increasingly hostile political environment. Congress Chief Rahul Gandhi will apologize through a fresh affidavit for wrongly attributing the Chowkidar Chor Hai remark to the Supreme Court. His lawyer, Abhishek Manu Singhvi, told Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi today. The BJP had objected to the Congress Chief's earlier affidavit, expressing regret, saying it is nowhere near an unqualified apology. Perhaps smarting at this situation, Rahul Gandhi went on to seize the moment later in the day to hit back when a fire was reported from Delhi's Shastri Bhavan, which houses several government departments. He said, "Modi ji, burning files is not going to save you. Your day of judgment is coming." Of course, I didn't speak about it yesterday, but it bears repeating. There were some footprints found in the Himalayas, and the Indian Army went on to say those were the mysterious footprints of the mythical beast Yeti. And Tarun Vijay went on to congratulate the Indian Army. I'm not going to add commentary to it. I'm just going to leave that there. Now, from that piece of bizarre news about the Yeti to, well, just bizarre. The exchange between Mamata Banerjee and Narendra Modi has only grown more acidic. Yesterday, Modi had claimed in a rally in Serampore, which is a town near Kolkata, that on the 23rd of May, the day of results, the lotus will bloom everywhere and your MLAs will leave you and run. Even today, Didi, 40 of your MLAs are in contact with me. Unquote. And obviously the Kraken was raised. Mamata Banerjee was not happy. "I am saying at least find one. My party does not steal like yours," was what she said. She went on to say, and I quote, "Aren't you ashamed? You claim yourself to be a protector of the constitution. In spite of being in a constitutional position, you are violating it. You do not have any right to be the prime minister, ex-prime minister," unquote. There are still 23 days to the results, and this saga, well worthy of a Balaji Telefilms type kind of treatment, is only going to heighten, and I am here for it. Popcorn and all. Before diving into some of the big stories we'll be taking a closer look at, let's end with some happy news. Netflix said today that it had secured the rights to make a mini-series about the dramatic rescue of 12 boys and their soccer coach from a cave in northern Thailand last year, which captured international attention. You will all remember, of course, the Thai boys situation. They were all stuck in a cave, they did not have any food, and it took them 17 days to rescue these poor boys of the soccer team called Wild Boars. There was also, of course, a guest appearance by Elon Musk, because why not? This mini-series, for which Netflix has gained the rights, will be directed by the director of Crazy Rich Asians, John M. Chu, and Natawut Poonpiria, who is a Thai director. So far, there have been two books about the rescue, and there's also a feature film by Tom Waller called The Cave, which has wrapped up shooting in December. So there you go, you knew this was coming, a mini-series about the Thai boys trapped in the cave. There you go, those were some of the biggest stories doing the rounds across the world. Two stories now to take a closer look at. We start with Kotak Mahindra Bank's quarter four results. It has jumped 25%, as we said earlier, on strong loan growth. Boosted by a strong loan growth, private sector lender Kotak Mahindra Bank reported a 25% jump in net profit to 1,408 crore rupees in the March quarter, as compared to 1,124 crore rupees in the same quarter of the previous year. Its loans grew 21% overall as of the end of March. Bloomberg Quint reported that the bank's profit was aided by a 21% rise in total advances to 2,05,695 crore rupees. Kajal Gandhi, banking analyst at ICICI Direct, told Bloomberg, and I quote, "The bank was building in a 22% loan growth, but the 21% growth is not very disappointing because the margin has also grown and the overall bottom line and control over asset quality is still there. Considering that, it does not appear to be a miss," unquote. Net interest income jumped to 3,048 crore rupees from 2,580 crore rupees a year earlier, but marginally lower than the 3,079 crore estimate. So that's about 30 crore rupees on the downside. The net interest margin inched higher to 4.48% during the quarter. Other income rose to 1,270 crore rupees in the fourth quarter, as compared to 1,151 crore rupees a year earlier. Well, those are all a lot of numbers. You might get confused listening to these numbers. Suffice to say, it was a good quarter. Asset quality remained stable, extremely important in the Indian situation, with gross bad loans as a percentage of the total at 2.14% by the end of March, compared with 2.07% 2.7% in the previous quarter and 2.22% in the same period last year. So as of last year, the asset quality has improved a little bit. Provisions for bad loans fell 44% year on year to 171 crore rupees. The bank had a write back of 32 crore rupees in the preceding quarter. The board today recommended a dividend of 0.8 rupees or 80 paise per equity share for 2018-2019. Following the news, Kotak Mahindra shares edged higher to settle at 1,385 rupees, up 0.5%. The stock, that is the Kotak Mahindra stock, has gained 10.41% so far this year compared to a 9% rise in the NSE Nifty Bank Index. The other big story, like I had promised earlier, is about the $1 billion buyback from Standard Chartered. In international financial news, Standard Chartered announced plans for a share buyback approaching $1 billion in value. This is the first such move by Standard Chartered in 20 years, as it posted a 10% rise in quarterly profit, indicating it was seeing early success in its turnaround strategy. Mint reported that the buyback announcement sent the Hong Kong-listed shares of Standard up more than 7% in afternoon trade today, while the broader market was down 0.5%. The stock was trading 4.8% higher around 6 a.m. GMT. According to a report on the Nasdaq website, the London-headquartered bank Standard Chartered, which focuses on Asia, Africa and the Middle East, said in a stock exchange filing that pre-tax profit grew to $1.38 billion from $1.26 billion a year ago. Standard Chartered announced a $1.1 billion settlement with the US earlier this month to bring to a close a long-running probe into whether the bank continued to violate sanctions after 2007 when it said it would no longer do business with Iran. The Financial Times had reported in November last year that Standard Chartered was preparing to buy back shares, but those plans were delayed after it took longer than expected to resolve this probe in the United States. Now, the share repurchase plan comes after CEO Bill Winters unveiled in February ambitious plans to double return on tangible equity and dividends in 3 years by cutting $700 million in costs and boosting income. So these were the big plans of Bill Winters as they were announced in February, cutting $700 million in costs and boosting income. He has, of course, been under pressure since then to cut costs at the bank, and the latest results showed a 2% drop in operating expenses to $2.4 billion, which is the lowest quarterly figure in 2 years. Winters went on to explain, and I quote, "The resolution of our legacy conduct and control issues means we can now manage our capital position more dynamically. We will maintain our strategic investment program and start to buy back $1 billion worth of our shares," unquote. Andy Halford, chief financial officer of Standard Chartered, said the bank's decision to buy back its shares would not necessarily restrict its ability to invest in high-growth Asian and African markets, where it generates the vast majority of its profits. Halford went on to clarify, and I quote, "We see various ways to grow assets and to make returns to shareholders. There should be space to do both," unquote. So that right there was everything you needed to know about the world, except for sports. I haven't tried to cover any sports today, but I'll give you some sports gyan tomorrow. But at the end of the day, what was the final tally on the Lal Street? The Sensex was down 35.78 points to close at 39,031.55, still holding on to the 39K mark, while Nifty was down 6.5 points to close at 11,748.2. And with that, we come to the end of today's stories of the day. Now that you've listened to this, you can switch off your phone and go to bed. Do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us, and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.